T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time for the John Chuckery Show. Sports talk that's not for the faint of heart.
Oh, what a big man you are. Hey, let me buy you a pack of gum. I'll show you how to chew it.
Ooh. Sports talk in the ATL that's live, local, and never lets facts get in the way of what sounds good.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Be part of the show at 404-741-0929 or text John at 22929.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's get this started. Time for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome in live to the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Night number two. Streaming online, it's at 929thegame.com. Check us out. It's a new and improved website. Breaking sports news, all the replays of the shows, catch us live, interviews, everything is up there, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app, put it on whatever device that you keep on you, your phone, your tablet, boombox, a turntable, a CD player, Blu-ray, Laserdisc, Atari 64, whatever you got out there, Atari 5200, I should say, Commodore 64, whatever device you got, radio.com app, that way you can always catch us on the go. All the social media for the stations at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us, like us, be a part of all of that movement at 929 The Game. The best way, as always, to follow along on this show is do follow us on Twitter. I want to really thank a lot of the new folks that have jumped on board with us. We are going to get a little bit more hot and heavy into social media. In fact, Jarvis and I are already talking about getting together for lunch to kind of, we'll start putting a game plan together, a few things that we want to do and some things that we've already talked about. So follow us on social media. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is the producer of the show. They call you executive producer, by the way. Do you get that executive producer title? Ham and Egger producer. I mean, yeah. Yeah, so there you go. Jarvis is on Twitter. Follow him at JarvisD90. Busy, busy show tonight. A lot to get into. We did mention in the handoff with Mike and Carl. So Gabe Burns will join us at 8:20 tonight, our guy that covers the Braves for the AJC. As Braves look to continue their winning ways, trying to go 5-0 since the All-Star break, 6-game winning streak overall, and ensure that they will win the series against the Milwaukee Brewers, a team that could very much be a playoff team, before wrapping up tomorrow, and then it will be back home for the Braves as they take on the Washington Nationals in a 4-game set. So our buddy Chris Goforth, we want to remind you that coming up on Saturday, it will be our kickoff show of college football game time from 9 to noon. So that is, let's see, Chris Goforth is part of that show. Randy Mack will normally be hosting it, but Freaky will be in for him this week because Randy's got something with Andy to do. And that third guy that hosts that college football game time show, who is that? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's me. Yeah, I forget. I kept forgetting that they actually let me back on that show this year. So myself, Chris Goforth, this weekend, John Freaky, but it will be Randy Mack. College football game time, Saturdays from 9 to noon. The best college football show in town. Sorry. If you're on another college football show in town, you're playing for second. That's all I can tell you. And always remember that you don't win silver, you lose gold. Anyway, we'll talk to Chris Goforth at the 9:40 as he is in Hoover, Alabama, as day two of SEC Media Day. It's been pretty quiet in Hoover, Alabama to this point. Hasn't been really many storylines and things like that. I think some people thought maybe Dan Mullen would come in and kind of stir it up a little bit, but he hasn't. Obviously, Georgia today, along with Tennessee, but Georgia, the big story today, and, you know, they've kind of become that next sexy program. Alabama dominates the conversation, and obviously being in Alabama for this event, they're the team that everybody puts their eyes on. But now we're in the Georgia world, and people are starting to, you know, latch on to Georgia as that next sexy team, that next sexy program, not only in the country, or not only in the SEC, I should say, but also in the country. So A lot of fanfare around Kirby Smart and the Georgia program today. We will hear some clips from all the goings-on at SEC Media Days out there. So a couple of things that we'll just kick off and get into real quick. And I talked to Gabe Burns about this. Everybody knows that Ender Inciarte is scheduled to come off the IL and be ready to be activated this coming weekend when the Braves come back home to play. I think it's a very interesting scenario to see what exactly that the Braves are going to do as far as who they're going to move. Now, I asked Gabe this question, and there's been some rumor and innuendo, as we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, about who is going to be headed down. And I think it's an interesting choice. I don't know that there's a lot of great choices because you have some guys that are valuable to you right now that you don't want to have to move out there. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Ender. Not only from the standpoint of what roster move do they make to who they're going to send down to allow for his spot, but how much does he get to play? Are they going to use him as a show me for the next couple of weeks? Because there's only one position he's going to play, by the way. You know that, right? Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, no, he'll play center field. But you know what that means? That guy who's been raking it in left field doesn't play as much, Austin Riley. You willing to sit Austin Riley to showcase Ender Inciarte? I ain't. Let me go ahead and speak for this show. Nope. Cash me outside, bro. Cash me outside, bro, on that whole let's play Ender Inciarte. But if not, how are you going to showcase him? Yeah, I know. He plays gold glove defense. I'm so tired of hearing about his gold glove defense at this point. What does that mean in baseball, by the way? What does that mean for getting on base? You know what? He should play in the Atlanta League where you can steal first base. Because that's the only way Ender Inciarte is going to get on base nowadays is if he steals first base. Wait for a pass ball or a wild pitch and steal first. Because he didn't do a whole lot other than that. I'm tired of the gold glove defense. I heard that from Jason Hayward for so long. You know what? If my right fielder hits 12 homers and 60 RBIs, his gold glove defense ain't enough to make up for that. You know, I need 30 and 100 out of my right fielder, not 12 and 60. That's the Kent Bazemore of all statistics as far as Major League Baseball goes. He's a good defensive player, and he hits 12 homers and 60 RBIs. Yeah, there's 50 guys in the league for half his money that can do that. Miss me with that one, too, while we're at it. So the Ender Inciarte move is going to be an interesting one to see. And bad news, because Atlanta United hasn't had any bad news of late, but Breck Shea, in his injury on Sunday, much worse than originally thought. He's got a torn ACL in his knee, which means that he is done for the remainder of the season. So not a good situation there. Terrible injury. Hopefully he will be on the road to recovery here soon enough. But Atlanta United has acquired Chicago Fire midfielder Mo Adams. So he's a 22-year-old Englishman. He holds a green card and will not take up Atlanta's remaining international slot. He was a teammate of Miles Robinson at Syracuse University. He was actually the 10th overall pick in the 2018 Super Draft, played 25 games with Chicago, started five times, but hasn't played since a 1-1 draw versus Real Salt Lake on June 22nd. So, you know, at this point, they need bodies. I mean, doesn't sound like Barco's going to be quite back yet. You know, what was it, Escobar and some of these guys, I heard Darren Eales talking about some of the injuries. Now, they ain't got a lot of healthy bodies. Now, good news is they're coming home on Wednesday, taking on maybe a ticked-off Dynamo team that thinks they maybe should have won last time out. We'll see how that all goes. Certainly, it's been much better at home for Atlanta United than it has been on the road for the entire season. So let's see if the home cooking can get things cranked up. Of course, that'll happen tomorrow night. Oh, by the way, we're off tomorrow night, Jarvis, just in case you didn't know for all that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. I spoke too soon. I'm not working. I'm off. The host, the guy with the show, the guy with the name on the show, he gets off. But sorry, Jarvis will be here. So if you want to check into who's pushing the buttons, Jarvis will be here for all of that. But that actually gets started, by the way, 6:30. So Dukes and Bell getting off air. They get a half hour off early. 6:30 pregame. They'll be in the Gulch tomorrow broadcasting and tailgating. So go by and check those guys out. I love broadcasting from the Gulch, by the way. That's probably my favorite spot to broadcast from. 7 o'clock kickoff, which means probably 7:20 in MLS terms out there. Jason Longshore and Mike Connie on the call for all of that. We'll have all of your action. So when we get back, should everything be on the table when it comes to trying to get this World Series? And that means all prospects are available. Break that all down next. It's the John Chuckery Show from the Key Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back into the Key Studios. John Chuckery with you here on a Tuesday night. Hey, Atlanta baseball fans, join Dale Murphy in 929 The Game this coming Monday from noon to 2 at the Racetrack Store in Smyrna off of Spring Road. Dale Murphy's going to be signing autographs. So stop by during your lunch break to meet the Atlanta Braves baseball legend and have a chance to win some great prizes. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. I'm at JMCH316 on Twitter. He is at JarvisD90 on Twitter. Always the best way if you want to be a part of the conversation and give us your thoughts as well. So we will get ready for Atlanta Braves baseball coming up here at the top of the hour, trying to lock in a series win against the Milwaukee Brewers, winners last night, and we'll see if they can continue their winning ways. 4-0 coming out of the All-Star break, and I think they've won 6 in a row overall. I mean, so just a lot of good things going on for the Atlanta Braves. But we all know that they need to make some moves, and we were talking last night about, you know, the Braves should be in that mindset of what do we got to do? And the question becomes, how far are you willing to go to try to win the World Series this year? You know, we know that the Atlanta Braves organization is still loaded with minor league prospects, okay? When I talk with Gabe Burns here in about an hour from now, you know, have you seen Alex Jackson lately? You know, he's homered in 4 consecutive games in the minors. You know, that's the guy they brought up earlier. That's the catcher. You know, he's one of the big catching prospects. He's homered in 4 straight games right now. He's swinging a hot bat. He played a little bit earlier in the season. Obviously, we know about the 62,000 starting pitching prospects that the Braves have that, to this point, they've been so reluctant to let anybody go and fear, you know, the idea of sending somebody off. Now, from a positional player standpoint, there are two guys' names that always pop up on the lists. One is Drew Waters, who's an outfielder. The other is Christian Pache. And especially when it comes to Pache, people think in the next maybe 1 to 2 years that Pache, who's been terrific, by the way, down in the minors this year, I think in Double A, I think he's got one of the highest extra base hit totals, and I think he's one of the leaders in overall hits in Double A baseball. He's had a fantastic run for the Braves. And I think a lot of people think, myself included, year or two, maybe he plays center, and you put Ronald Acuna back left, right, whatever, you know, probably left field. I mean, whatever you want to do with him, because Austin Riley's eventually going to play third base. I think that's his position next year to play as third base. So you've got two guys in Pache and Waters that have been those names that it seems like for 20 years now we've heard about. Doesn't it seem like forever and a day, like we've heard those two guys, and yet they're only in Double-A baseball. Then there's Ian Anderson, who maybe you could argue is their top pitching prospect in their minor league system. He's down at Double-A as well. So we know that Gwinnett and Mississippi and Rome, they've got loaded rosters. But it's been an organization that even with Double-A has not been a team to be uber-aggressive or ultra-aggressive and be willing to give up a lot. Build through the young guys, sign some free agents, and see what happens there. But as we've talked about so often on this show, when you're in that strike zone window, okay, when you're in that bullseye window of, man, we can win this thing. We got a shot to win this thing, okay? Are you willing to go far to do it? Now, obviously, it has to be the right deal. I'm not giving away, you know, Christian Pache and Kobe Allard for a ham and egg. You know, this better be guys that are legitimately going to come here and make a difference on the team. And yeah, I understand. Anything can happen. Guy could get hurt or he doesn't quite work out. Or I get all of that, okay? But I'm not talking about, you know, you're bringing some middle reliever in. You know, if you made another, you know, Swarzak type of trade We ain't giving up Pache or Waters or one of those kinds of guys for a guy like that. But if it's one of these frontline closers, let's say it's Will Smith of the Giants. Local kid, right? Local kid, grew up in Georgia, big Falcons fan. Tom Glavine, his favorite player growing up, okay? He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. Don't have a lot of money invested in him. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so you don't have him for very long. But are you willing to give up some high-level prospects to get the guy that you want? Because here's the reality. Everybody's going to start bidding on these guys. You know, the Cardinals think that they're back in the playoff chase now. You know, because I think they're, I want to say that they're second in the division right now. Let's see. Cardinals, yes. They're back to where they're two games. So Milwaukee, with that loss last night, actually went to third place in the division. They're in third right now. I got news for you. You know, when you start to look at the wild card scenarios, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're only one game out. You know, right now it's the Nats and Cardinals as your two wild card teams, with Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Arizona only one game out of being in a wild card spot. So there's a lot of teams that still have a lot to play for and maybe aren't willing to move, or more importantly is they're going to end up driving up the price of somebody because they think they can win. And everybody kind of seems to need the same thing, right? Pitching. I mean, how many teams in baseball today need offense? Like, how many teams in baseball are not whacking it all over the park? You know, it's whack-a-mole all over all these bandbox ballparks and bad pitching and don't face guys three times through and, you know, everything about the world of baseball that we live in right now. How many of those teams are worried? How many teams you got to worry about, you know, gee, I hope they got enough offense. Seems like we literally don't say that about any team in baseball nowadays. Gee, I hope they've got enough offense to win some games. It's always pitching, starting pitching, relief pitching, whatever you want to look at. It's always that same thing that everybody covets out there. So if everybody covets the same thing, guess what that does? It's going to jack the price up. It's going to yoke it right up into the air. And now who's got the best offer to put out there? Or maybe more importantly is who's willing to give up a lot to maybe not get as much in return? You know, the reality is if you want that kid out of Detroit, was it Shane Green? You want Green, you want Will Smith. You got six teams that you're bidding against, and they're all going to jack up the price if they feel like they can win it. And some organizations are future be damned. I can win it now. That's not been what the Braves are. The Braves have absolutely not been a future be damned type of deal. They've been a much more cautious, and for a guy who's got a reputation of being a little bit more of a gambler, aggressive gambler in Double A, he's been pretty cautious thus far. You know, some people may say the Dallas Keuchel deal, yeah, that wasn't that hard of a deal. That kind of fell right into him. There wasn't a whole lot he had to do with all that. So that wasn't too tough of a decision for him to you know, that wasn't like some kind of special thing that went on to get that. Not that it wasn't a good signing, but it's just, you know, that kind of all came to you as much as anything else. And this is a hot organization. You know, guys would want to play here. I mean, you talk about the young core of players and everything else. Guys are going to want to come here. John Chuckman, the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 Games, to talk some Braves baseball with you. So it's an attractive location for anybody that would want to come here. Players would be very open and receptive, I would guess, to wanting to come play for so many good young players. And then, you know, old man Freddie Freeman at 29 years old, the veteran stalwart of this Braves organization, being a part of all that. What was it? He was the oldest starting positional player in the All-Star game for the National League, right? It was the youngest starting lineup ever in National League history, and Freddie was the oldest at like 29 or whatever it is he is, 29, 30, whatever he is out there. I would hope that the Braves would be pretty darn aggressive about getting the moves that they have to do to get the guys in here that they have to get to go win the World Series. You know, if the Dodgers are the only team that's really above you as far as class of the National League, if that's all that you're giving me is it's the Dodgers, okay, what do we got to do to beat them? What do I got to do? Because anything can happen. I mean, you don't sit there and anticipate and try to speculate on, you know, well, you know, we're going to be here for a long time. Well, been a lot of good franchises that said that over the years that ended up not being there very long. You don't want to be that franchise. Cash in, cash me outside, bro. Cash in while you've got a chance to win this thing. And I'm in that mindset with the Braves is, okay, it's great to have prospects, okay? It's great to have a deep farm system. I get that. There's only so many spots available. There's only so many spots and positions available for all of your young guys to quote-unquote play. And the Braves are obviously not in any kind of rebuild mode, so this is go win the series now. I hope the Braves are aggressive. I hope that if the right deal comes along and that means Waters or Pache has to go, then I'm okay with that. Because Christian Pache, until he actually steps on the Major League Baseball field and becomes a star player, is nothing but a prospect. A hopeful prospect, but nothing but a prospect at that point. One of our texters, Jake Blake, 2872, says Double A is afraid of committing a Wainwright. Could be. I mean, it's not been his M.O., though. That wasn't his M.O. in Toronto. But, yeah, there's always that fear. You know, I mean, look, in hindsight, it's easy to say that the Mark Teixeira trade was not a great trade. We gave up, what, 3 All-Stars? You know? And the Braves didn't win anything. If you make that trade and you win something, like people talk about the Doyle-Alexander trade. You know, Tigers got to the playoffs. They didn't win the World Series. They got the playoffs. I mean, if you think you can get there and get it done, make that type of deal. All right, when we get back. So is Georgia maybe the only team in the country who'd be equipped to take down both Alabama and Clemson if they get into a playoff scenario? We'll break all that down next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. Best way is through our Twitter handle. He is at JarvisD90. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. So as SEC Media Days, as Media Days roll along, and we'll have our college football game time show coming up for you, inaugural show coming up Saturday 9 to noon. It's our kickoff show. How about that? Sounds even better. Myself, Chris Goforth, it'll be John Fricke this week, but Randy will be part of all of that moving forward. So we move into the SEC Media Days. Certainly the two teams that are going to dominate being the favorites for both who's going to win the divisions, who's going to win the SEC title, and who's going to have all the guys on the first and second team. That's going to be Georgia and Alabama. And, you know, I've said repeatedly that Georgia is going to probably not be worse than fourth in the country, whether that's Ohio State or Oklahoma that maybe is ahead of Georgia. I can't see them being less than fourth in America in the preseason polls with all the talent that they have. But obviously there is that stigma and that hurdle about can this team beat Alabama? And obviously, if it's going to win a national championship, okay, you very much likely will have to beat both Alabama and Clemson to get that done. But how equipped is Georgia to do that this year? How does that pathway go? Well, number one, Georgia's got the upperclassman quarterback. You know, you've got a guy in Jake Fromm that has done nothing but grow since he's been with the program. Not to mention, he's been in every big game imaginable. 2 SEC title games, national semifinal game, national title game. Okay? He's been in every big. He was in the Sugar Bowl last year. He's been in every big scenario game you can ask out of him. So he's got that experience of he's been there and been in those moments. And Fromm has played well. I mean, you know, the biggest thing with Jake Fromm has always been, if you can get pressure to Fromm, especially up the middle, that's where he's going to have trouble. And that's pretty much like 95% of all quarterbacks, or maybe 98% of all quarterbacks are going to have trouble with that type of deal. So Georgia has the upper-level quarterback, not just a guy who's a game manager, by the way. You're talking about a guy that can huck it around. I don't think people understand about how good the numbers have been for Jake Fromm when you look at his numbers last year. Look, Jake Fromm, if he's 3,530 touchdowns in the SEC, there won't be a fourth year of Jake Fromm. He will be in the NFL and maybe the number one overall draft pick when all is said and done. So that's a big thing for and look, I understand Trevor Lawrence won the national title last year. Tua was in the game. I get all that. But having an upperclassman quarterback that's been through those battles, been through those wars, is one of the things that you want to have when you're talking about not trying to beat one, but both of those teams. Number two, offensive line. You're talking about arguably the best offensive line in college football with at least one top five pick in Thomas that's going to be available in the NFL draft next year. You know, one thing about Clemson and Alabama, are you going to dominate Clemson and Alabama up front? Nope. Nobody in America is. Nobody in America is going to dominate those teams up there, dominate their defense up front. But you've got to be able to slow it down. You've got to be able to slow down some of the pass rush that you get from their front four. Not talking about linebackers and safeties and blitzing and doing different things. You know, their front fours can always get pressure. They've always got those guys to get pressure. So Georgia does have an offensive line that can hang with some of the best talent in the country on a defensive line side. Because you can make a strong case that the best offensive line in America resides in Athens, Georgia. That they are the best offensive lineman group in the country. Number three is they can run the football. And when you're talking about trying to slow down Tua, slow down Trevor Lawrence, you got to have both an offensive line and a running game that can attack that defense. Does that mean you're going to break off all kinds of big plays and you're going to continuously make plays against Alabama and Clemson's defense? Nope. It's not what it's about. You have to be willing to take the good and the bad together. You take some of the bad to finally hit a good play. And if you can control the clock, control the offense, keep your offense on the field instead of their offenses, either one, Bama or Clemson, keep their offenses off the field, now you got a winning formula. Chew up clock, get first downs. You know, doing those types of things to really help control the game and the tempo and the pace of how the game is played. Biggest thing is make sure that if you do those kinds of drives and you can get it going, you better capitalize on them. You better capitalize on a big drive against an Alabama or Clemson. You can't settle for a field goal. Sometimes you need to go get that touchdown out of all of it. John Chuckman, the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game, as we're talking about UGA's pathway, about how you try to beat both Clemson and Alabama in the same season to try to get yourself a playoff victory out of all of it. Now, where Georgia's going to be interesting to see is along their defense. They're good in the secondary. They got good corners. Jared Reed's a really good first-team all-conference safety. Linebackers and even some of their defensive line could be questions at times this year as to how good that they are. And we keep kind of waiting for that Kirby Smart to breed that Alabama defensive line, right? Like, where's our Mount Cody and Marcel Darius? Where are those guys at? You know what I mean? Where's our guys like that were stalwarts of that defense for Alabama during those national title runs? Haven't quite gotten to that level yet. But that's one of the things Georgia trying to become more like those top-tier programs. I think they've kind of done it on the offensive line. You know, you're talking about the best offensive line in America. Georgia's getting those horses up front now. Georgia's getting those guys up front that, you know, are difference makers and control that line of scrimmage. So Georgia can run the football. Where I think do what they have to do to try to make some hay against, you know, a defensive line that's, you know, full of NFL first round draft picks. Where I get concerned a little bit about Georgia is, can they make enough big plays in the passing game? Because at some point, you're going to have to hit a big one against Clemson and Alabama. You're going to have to hit a big play in your passing game. I don't know yet, maybe not later in the season, but for now, yet, I'm not sure Georgia has the experienced guys to make that big play at wide receiver. Again, eventually, that group may really come together with Holloman gone now. I mean, you know, who do they turn to? You know, a lot of young guys that are in this program right now. Mookie Blaylock's kid, part of all that. But for right now, it may be a little bit more of a work in progress. You hope by the end of the year that those guys really start to come together. And same thing at tight end as well. So that's the one part that scares me is, can they hit some big play passes, you know, in that passing game and keep Clemson and Alabama honest from just loading up the box or loading up and coming in and getting you out there. I think the other question for Georgia, well, let me put it this way. Another strength is they've got a great kicker. And a lot of times these games can be 7-point, 3-point, you know, whatever types of games. Having a great kicker is a big benefit, and that's what Rodrigo is. You get in tight games, you want to be able to count on your kicker to make the extra point, make those chip shot field goals, do what they have to do to make sure that they don't squander any opportunity to try to score some points out there. Or, if nothing else, you know, make sure to try to pin one of those offenses back. Where I think that they have to be careful is, can Georgia be very good against the run? Can they be a team that can control the defensive as a defense, control the line of scrimmage, and keep the running plays down? Because Clemson's got a workhorse load, and Alabama's got some as well. So, yeah, I think Georgia can be a team that could beat both of those, the right scenario and the right situation. All right, when we get back, Mark Cuban has to pay a $50,000 fine. Whew. Hope you can afford it. It's the John Chuckery Show from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.